This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies, brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this coming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca. Their rental's backed by a $1 million insurance policy. Also brought to you by Paul Waldo over there at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviera Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivieraagseeds.ca. I'm joined on the phone by New York Jets defensive back, Tavon Campbell of Regina. Well, Regina Ramlore, I should say. Now, Tavon, does that have a nice ring to it, my friend?
Yep, definitely does.
No kidding. So just talk about that process. I know when you first came out of university, didn't you have a couple of NFL tryouts back in the day?
Yeah, I had one with the Giants and one with the Redskins back in 2015. Yeah.
Okay, and so what did you take from that to help you in this round of workouts? Because the Jets weren't the only team you worked out for this time, were they?
No, I just took the belief that I can do it, and at the end of the CFL football season, I told my agent that, hey, like, get me one workout, and I should be good from there. And we got a few in the books. We got about six in the books. We got Browns, we got Jets, we got Patriots, we got Green Bay, we got Texans, we got Packers.
Yeah,
I believe that's it. And the Buccaneers.
And the Buccaneers. And then you settled on the Jets. What made the Jets? They offered you a contract, obviously, so that's what sealed it for you. But what did you like about that Jets workout in particular?
The coaches were very they were cool, I guess, I should say. They had a plan in mind, and I think I fit into the plan, so...
And what's
that's
the
plan? What's
the plan? You're a very fast guy. You run like a 4.3 40. I know you have some kick return ability, but you're a defensive back. What are they looking for from you there? Have they said?
Really, someone to play. Like, I'm going in there with the intention that I'm going to start. I'm going to play the game of football. I'm not just going to be a practice roster guy or a special teams kind of guy. I'll play all roles. I play special teams, defense, really whatever they need me at to make the team succeed.
Okay, Tavon Campbell joining us here, former Regina Ram, also playing in the Canadian Football League. I believe you're drafted by the Stamps, spent some time with the Riders, and of course, you're with the Montreal Alouettes most recently, Tavon. In terms of going to the National Football League, going to the New York Jets, they don't have a head coach right now. I know Casey Rogers, you played with him here, the son, but the dad has some health issues, but he is the defensive coordinator right now with the Jets. How is that for you? Is it kind of is it awkward to go in not knowing who the head coach is, or does that work to your advantage, do you think?
I don't think it really affects me at all, just because in both circumstances I'm starting anew, so... If I knew who the head coach was, it would make a difference. If I didn't know who the head coach was, I'm still a new player in the NFL, and I'm still fighting for a spot. I'm still fighting for a roster spot. So,
besides the experience part, Tavon, how was 2015 Tavon Campbell when you first came out and gave a go at the NFL, and the 2019 version of Tavon Campbell different? Like, how are you a different player?
I think I'm just more mature from that day. I know you say aside from the experience, but I think really that had a lot to play in it. And I think just having all those different coaches and different players from around North America helped me out and helped me exceed my game and come back every year a better player. Mm-hmm. So I think that really helped out.
Yeah, and you definitely have a growing. You played rugby too. Tell us about that experience and how much different is rugby as opposed to football, equipment aside.
Yeah, that was actually a that was a wild experience. It was definitely something fun, something different. I've never really traveled the world before, and to go with 13 guys around the world and compete against countries that you wouldn't even believe of going to. It was just a surreal experience. And the game's definitely different, but it has its similarities. And I think the big difference was the cardio aspect of the game.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the guys on the team, they were they're big guys, and their cardio was just outstanding compared to my when I came in. So cardio was definitely a big part.
So is that what you take from rugby to football? Like, it got you in better shape? Like, what can you take from rugby to make you a better, more confident football player for the New York Jets?
I mean, you could take really anything. Tackling, cardio, you could take the spatial awareness, just because I know rugby is a bigger field, but especially in sevens, where you have to cover so much ground as one player, and you have to protect yourself from sidelines, you have to protect yourself from other players, and you really have to, you're really counted on by the players beside you to make that tackle, to stay in bounds, to do certain specific things that you really don't, you don't see as that important if you didn't play rugby sevens.
Tavon Campbell joining me here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. Now, you talk about spatial awareness. Do you think the smaller NFL field will suit your game? I know you've played on the rugby pitch and also here in the Canadian Football League, where it's 65 wide and 110 long, as opposed to 100 long and 53 wide. Do you think that smaller field will translate well for you?
Definitely. Every time I go down to the States and I stand on one of those fields, I think about how much different the game would be, and I think it'll just play to my advantages of speed and burst and the ability to come out of breaks. And I think that if I use everything I know, I'll be successful.
What's Tavon Campbell's off-season workout regimen look like?
Well, this year it's a lot of everything. I do a lot of track. I do a lot of field work. I do a lot of lifting and a lot of shadow boxing.
Shadow boxing, cool.
How'd yoga on the weekends.
How'd you get into shadow boxing, and what does that do to help you?
I just picked it up along the way. I back in the Montreal season, I just decided I wanted to start boxing, so I just picked up a little shadow boxing, and I think it just works a lot on the gym as a DB and a corner especially.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, yoga. I tried yoga the other day. Now, granted, I'm in my mid-40s. You're still a young whippersnappers, as old guys like to say. But, man, I thought I was in shape. I work out quite a bit. I'm not in Tavon Campbell shape, but I work out. I'm not, you know, I'm holding my own. But I go into that yoga room, hot yoga with my daughter. I got my ass kicked. Was it awkward for you doing yoga at the start?
I mean, it's definitely different because you think, okay, I'm pretty in shape. I think I could hold my body up for X amount of time, and you get to start doing it, and you realize that the muscles kind of work against you in yoga. So it's definitely a difficult activity to do.
Do you practice? You know, I've talked about this with other guys. Football is a very stressful sport for so many reasons. The business side, guys are trying to take your job, especially if you're playing defensive back and corner like you're wont to do. You got to have a short memory because when you get burned, people see it. Do you do mindfulness? Do you do some mental stuff, meditation to help you out?
I just read a lot.
Yeah?
I'd say I picked up a few books this offseason. So, I just keep my head in the books and
okay.
Try to read. There's a new book called, well, not new, but Relentless is,
okay.
Is a good book about,
what's that about?
Athletes. And it's pretty much about mindset. So guys like Kobe, guys like Dwayne Wade, guys like Michael Jordan, it shows you their mindset and how they approach the game of basketball.
How do you erase a bad play? Like, what do you do to because like I said, you're on the corner, you're on the island, man. Guy beats you, everybody in the stadium sees it. How do you forget that play and move on to the next play? What do you do? Or is it just something that you have?
You kind of just think about a good play you're going to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone makes bad plays, but can everyone make the good plays? And that's kind of why they keep you around. They know you're not perfect, and they know something's going to happen, but can you come back from that and make a good play after?
Tavon, how did you end up with the Rams? Just tell us a little bit about your journey, and who do you think about at this time when you sign an NFL contract? Who in your life influenced you, either off the field or coaching-wise?
I came to the Rams. Well, first of all, Paul Dawson came to Toronto when I was about grade 11, and my coach, Coach Bubba, we call him. He kind of set up the meeting, and I knew there was a couple guys that went to the school, and I felt like it would be a good fit for me just to get my mind clear and go somewhere far away from home, which what I wanted to do. So, yeah, I went there, and I don't know. It kind of turned out successful for me, and that's what I kind of enjoyed.
What did you like about, you know, you mentioned Paul Dawson, Frank McChrystal running the ship. When I've talked to people, they say Frank McChrystal and his staff really treated you like it wasn't about the program. It was about the individual inside the program. Did you get that sense?
Oh, definitely. They definitely looked out for me. They didn't just bring me to Regina from Toronto and kind of leave me on my own. They definitely looked out for me, made sure I was taken care of, make sure that I understood what I was doing in the school, where I was going around the city. They told players to kind of watch out for me, and that's what guys like Stephon Charles did and Akeem Hicks and guys like that. They kind of took me in under their wings and made me feel comfortable.
I'm going to ask Frank McChrystal later this on the podcast. I'm asking you first. Do you shake your head looking at that team? You had Benton Jenny, who is a big D lineman. You had Stephon Charles and Akeem Hicks, who's just tossing guys around in the NFL. And we got you an NFLer in the secondary and on returns, and you guys didn't win. Do you look back at that team and go, how the hell didn't we win?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it was a circumstance, but you could have all the best players on one team and still not come up with a championship. And I think that showed a lot, and especially in the NBA.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, but let me ask you, that says something for the Rams program, and we don't often promote that, you know, the fact that this program, little old Regina, when you got here, was this the first time you came to Regina in Saskatchewan when you came to the Rams?
Yeah, definitely. The only time I've probably heard of it was grade 3 geography, and just to come all the way down here, I realized that it is actually the place, and there's actually people living here.
What did you think when you got here?
I mean, I liked it. It had the small town vibe, and I'm from a big city. I was grown up in a big city, so I definitely liked the change. And
yeah, how long
did I decided to stay?
How long did it take you to say Saskatchewan or actually spell it? it's a long word, buddy.
Yeah, it definitely is a complicating one.
Sask, that's what you say. Anyway, where I was going with this is the little old Regina, Prairie School, I don't know, what, 10,000, 11,000 students, and you have John Ryan, Super Bowl champion, Akeem Hicks, Stephon Charles, Brett Jones, and now Tavon Campbell. Like, that is unbelievable. Not to mention all the guys that went to the CFL, the Hugheses, the Getzlaffs, the Claremonts, the Labatts, those kind of guys of the world. But you got five, and Jorgan Hughes had a tryout too. Six guys with a taste of the NFL.
Yeah, it's definitely different to look at, especially like that. I think it works good with the recruiting side of it as well, because, I mean, you know a lot of great players that went to the CFL, went to the NFL from Regina, and a lot of kids want to take that route and want to go there, so.
Yeah, and lastly, let's give a promotion, because that's why I started this podcast, to promote local athletes, local football here in Saskatchewan. What would be your endorsement? Why, just besides what we just mentioned here and the guys that moved on to the bigger and better, why would you say a kid should, sow his seeds in Regina or even Saskatoon and playing university football at large, but just in Saskatchewan? What do you see as the benefits?
I mean, there's a lot of Saskatchewan, especially they take football very serious, and you could tell from the riders, and you could tell from every university program, and even the city leagues, they take football very serious. They like to produce athletes. They want to produce athletes, and that's their goal in mind. So definitely a good place to come for football.
Tavon Campbell, happy new year to you. I think I can say happy new year. I always said January 7th is a cutoff. So as we tape this interview, it's January 7th. Happy new year. And it has been a happy new year to you so far as you sign that deal. So just before I let you go here, you're working out. When's your, like, things get going for you in Jets land?
I think I have to be down there sometime this month. And then really when OTA start.
Yeah.
In April, I believe.
April, yeah, around when the draft is. All right, well, thanks for stopping by, Tavon, and we wish you the best, okay?
Thank you, appreciate that.
And this is Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Also brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rental's backed by a $1 million insurance policy. Also brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage. If you want to get in the real estate game, give him a call, 306-502-5355. And yes, another sponsor joining us. Like to welcome the new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville. If you're looking for pedigreed Durham lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at RivierAgSeeds.ca. Okay, I'm joined by former Ram head coach Frank McChrystal. And Frank, I want to talk about a couple of things here, but first off, let's talk about your friend Jerry Orban, my friend too, a lot of people's friend, passing away at the age of 68, former educator in this town and a longtime player and coach with the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, just really, Michael, just a tremendous guy. And, you know, I met him first in 1972 when I went out with the Rams, and Jerry was, it was his first year of coaching the Rams as an offensive line coach, and have known him ever since and coached with him and you know, just spent a great deal of time with him.
Yeah, what about Jerry Orban, what was the one thing about Jerry Orban people liked? There were many things, but he's one of those guys that you don't really hear anybody say a bad thing about him. In fact, you don't.
Well, you know, there was a group of people that we were fortunate to meet and came together at one time. There was a Doug Kello, Gord Curry, a guy named Don Schmidt, and Jerry, and a guy named Al Relke. They're all really positive people, and people that really did things for the right reasons, did things because they cared and because it mattered. And the one thing that we found with going back to get Jerry to coach, you know, we got him to coach in 84, and then he had to stop for a while, and we got him to come back and coach with us, and he stopped for a while. Every time you were around Jerry, you got better. And I don't mean that just philosophically or, you know, just to say it, but you actually could see people get better, as whether they're students or whether they're players or whether they're coaches, whatever the case was, you ended up being better for having had your experience with Jerry.
I want to talk about his coaching in a second. Frank McChrystal joining us here, reflecting on the life of Jerry Orban. I'm not a big social media guy, but we do have a Rams alumni group, and that's one thing I like about social media. One thing where I say, yeah, that's why it's good. He had, you know, we talk about him being positive right up until the end. He had kind of a Facebook message. A bunch of the teammates and guys were there in his room where he was set up on his bed, and he was still positive right till the end. And that was nice to see.
It really was. And, you know, Bernie Schmidt and I did see him before he came home, when he was in the hospital the first time, and his wife Cindy came up there, and when we were leaving, you know, he had said, hey, we got this, and he was talking to Cindy. And, I mean, the one thing that's, and I think of him in the same sense of Gord Curry, is what a wonderful guy, what a positive guy, what a great influence. But you forget how incredibly competitive Jerry was, and guys like Gord Curry. So I see those two guys the same. You know, everybody thinks, oh, they're really nice guys. They're terrific guys. But, man, were they, and Jerry, was he ever fierce when it came to competition?
You know, it's interesting. You know, we talk about so much in pro sports. So this guy comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree or the Bill Walsh coaching tree. You've mentioned the name Gord Curry a couple of times, and we're making this about Jerry Orban. But it seems everybody comes off the Gord Curry tree. They're like Gord Curry. They're educators, they're good guys, they're good in the community, and Jerry Orban falls in that category.
Well, he really does. And, you know, whether as an educator or a coach or a mentor, whatever the case was, he did make everything better, everything around him better. And it's just a, you know, again, words just cannot describe you know, the loss that we have and the feeling of loss that all of us have. And it's not just, again, you know, compartmentalized with with the football and with the coaching, but I mean the influence he had at the university over some 15 years, setting up the internship for any number of education students. The fact that he was a principal in the high school system, he was a biology teacher, started out as a biology teacher in the high school system here. I mean, the influence he had is really, really phenomenal.
Frank McChrystal joining us here, a couple more minutes with him here. And you mentioned that, a ram right till the end. He doesn't want any flower donations. A lot of people say in lieu of flowers, please donate to this. He wants either blankets going to the cancer patients, or he wanted money going to the scholarship foundation for Ram players, which is really a ram right till the end.
Yeah, he is. And he's a person that, you know, like sometimes you need opportunity to find greatness. You know, sometimes there's no real challenges. You know, like a Winston Churchill would have been mediocre if it hadn't been for some of the challenges that he faced in World War II and bringing England together. I mean, Jerry Orban, it sounds a little, you know, maybe over the top, but it really isn't. I mean, you know, you don't recognize outside of our community, it's not often recognized what a terrific person he was and what a great leader he was and the contributions that he made as fully as he could in his life.
Frank, what made, just to wrap up on Jerry here, what made Jerry Orban a good coach in your opinion?
Well, he was really, really technically very sound. He understood that. And the other thing that he had was a real affinity for those offensive linemen. You know, like the offensive linemen, like they often have trouble dating, you know, getting the date to the prom. And, you know, Jerry really brought that group together and really made them feel like the contribution that they were making was so important and so valuable to the team. And it didn't matter whether they were starters or whether they were backups or whether they traveled or not. But, you know, you have to appreciate, look at the guys he coached, Roger Aldag, mm-hmm. Bob Poley, Brendan Labatt, Brett Jones. I mean, four of those, one's in the NFL. Brendan Labatt, without the NFL strike, would have been in the NFL.
Yeah.
Three of them were offensive linemen of the year in the CFL. Like they're like pretty amazing, and then there's a whole number of other guys that were exceptional, given that he took the time with him to bring them along.
I know you're busy here, so you're actually going to meet with Brett Jones, which is cool, and I want to get into that in a second. But I got to ask you this question. I don't want it to be morbid, but you know, some of these deaths recently. Gord Curry, obviously a little older, but Jerry's pretty young, 68. A friend of yours. You guys went to battle for a number of years. Does it make you look back and maybe question your own? Stop for a minute, Frank, because when you're playing, when you're in it, you're not really, you know, you got the friendships and stuff, but you don't really pause to reflect. And I know you're a deep thinker, so are you thinking about your own life and your own mortality and that type of stuff?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, Michael, I just turned 65.
Yeah.
on January 5th. So, I do look back on those. And, you know, when you're involved in things, whether it's the classroom or whether it's the football game, it just speeds by. You know, it just goes so fast. And these things certainly do give you pause and causes you to reflect on your experiences and maybe hold those people that are still around a little closer to you.
Frank, okay, let's talk football to wrap this up quickly. You're meeting with Brett Jones today, NFLer. You've had Stephon Charles in the NFL, Akeem Hicks, who is excelling at the NFL level, and now Tavon Campbell signing with the New York Jets. What is it about what you did or what your program did when you were running it there that, you know, have these guys not just in the CFL but getting to the league?
Well, I think, you know, like Tavon would be that fifth guy. And then yeah. There was, you know, another guy who had a try. It was Jorgen Hoos.
Right.
Long snapping. But, you know, I think it was really a matter of opportunity. One thing we were not afraid to do was reach out to people for their expertise. Certainly as coaches with that group, we surrounded ourselves with good coaches that were strong-willed and strong-minded, like Jerry Orban. And like Bernie Schmidt. And I think that technically we prepared them. And then the next step was simply to get them that opportunity to be seen. and to be honest about it. You know, like, don't tell a guy, don't tell a scout that a guy is 6'4 when he's 6'2. You know, and I think you have to advocate and get some credibility. And once you get your foot in the door with that credibility, it really gives that player a chance to be looked at and an opportunity to show his stuff.
Let me ask you: Do you kind of have a nice smile on your face when you watch those little intros the players do for themselves at the start of like the Sunday night football games, where Akeem Hicks comes on and goes, "Akeem Hicks, University of Regina, Saskatchewan."
I really do. It's pretty cool, and you know, Will, the one thing that we missed this year, and it's going to happen, is that Brett Jones is going to be playing center across from Akeem Hicks next year. I guarantee it at some point and some place. But yeah, the other thing that's pretty good, interesting about it, is they say the name right. They say Regina, not Regina,
yeah. And
they say Saskatchewan, not Saskatchewan. Which, yeah. I think even our prime minister might get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah, after a couple of ums and ahs. Let me just wrap up by asking you this, though. Do you shake your head sometimes, Frank? Football's a funny game. You had Stephon Charles, an NFLer, and Akeem Hicks on the same defensive line. And the way he's tossing NFL guys aside, do you shake your head? Like, how didn't we win with these two guys on our D-line?
Well, I try not to think of that, Mike. And, you know, we also had a kid named Benton Jenny that was really good. And Ryan Wellman, that was really good. So, we think about that. But you also have to appreciate what a team game it is.
Yeah.
And you need to appreciate that sometimes the CIS football is not a very level playing field.
Yeah.
And you have older players, and you have all kinds of, of things that happen and occur. But you know what? I mean, to win that Vanier Cup, you have to have a number of things go right for you.
Yeah.
And you got to have it down the roads. But I mean, you go in there, and we were always around it.
Yeah,
we were close. You know, we couldn't get past Manitoba, God forbid, and then we couldn't get past Calgary for a bit. So, we did the best we could, and I think the experience that we provided for our players speaks well to the program.
Hey, I didn't want to suggest you didn't do well. I shake my head, look at him toss these. He should have been feasted on guys left and right, but I guess it's part of the maturation process too. Okay, lastly, that's the thing that bugs me, and I know I trumpet this all the time, but this is where the CIS or U Sports needs to get to. You got four, now maybe five guys that have played in the national. We didn't mention John Ryan. Like, we got all these guys. We didn't mention the guy, only Saskatchewan kid to win a Super Bowl. We haven't mentioned that, but that's the thing. We don't promote our own. That you should be able to walk into the University of Regina anywhere and see that these guys played in the National Football League. Unreal.
It really is, and it's a shame that the university doesn't do more. I would also challenge the University of Regina Rams to do more and to push and promote that more. It's really kind of, it's almost sad, and you sort of miss it, because it passes. Like, I mean, we didn't mention John Ryan. He's only been gone out of the NFL for a year and still may get back in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy not to celebrate those guys.
I wouldn't be surprised to see John Ryan wrap up his career playing for the Rough Riders. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I wouldn't doubt. He always told me he'd like to wrap up his career playing for the Rough Riders to put a bow on it, because money doesn't mean much to him right now, but I know he's married, so that might factor into it too.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, thanks for this, Frank, and we'll see you at the Jerry Celebration of Life here this week, okay?
Okay, thanks, Mike. Bye.